Series today. How many of you are excited about that? Wait, excited it's over? Excited about the series? So for those of you who haven't been here the last few weeks, we've been talking about the crossroads of life. No matter whose shoes we're wearing, they're usually ours. And in our life, we have crossroads we come against every day, multiple times a day. And when we get there, the choice is, which way do I go? Do I go left or do I go right? Do I take the high road or the low road, the path more traveled upon or less traveled upon? But the paths we should be taking should be giving honor and glory to God in our lives, should be giving honor to those around us in our lives, and should be causing us to humble ourselves in our lives. So that's how we decide which path to take. Does it align with God's word? Does it bring glory and honor to him? So let's open in a word of prayer. You guys mind if I talk to God for a bit? Good. Father, we thank you, Lord God, first of all, for your son, Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for the sacrifice. God, for our debt, our sin being paid for in full through your son, Jesus. Father, we thank you that we can have repentance. God, that we can come before you boldly and say, Father, forgive me. And God, we know that you are good to forgive us. And Father, that we can accept you as our Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, here I am. Take me. Lead me. Guide me. And God, that we can know we can be yours. And Father, I ask you to open the hearts and the ears of the hearers today, God. Father, that they would receive from your word the truth, God, that is in it. God, that it would be a seed planted into their lives, into their hearts, into their minds, God, that would help to grow and develop them, God, causing them to become the men and women, God, that you've called them to be, God, causing them to reach out and fulfill, God, all that you have in store for them. Father, we thank you. And Father, I yield my tongue, my mind to you today, God. Use me, God, as you will. God, for your glory today, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the farmer was getting ready for his Easter meal, and all the barnyard animals were talking, and the hen walks up and goes, I'll donate the Easter eggs. And then the pig comes along and says, I'll do bacon for breakfast and a ham for lunch. And they all meet back in the barn, and the wise old mule, he says, wait. The chicken's just given an offering. She's going to be okay. But the pig, he's giving it all. It's costing him his life to provide for the farmer today. So in the crossroads of life, are you all in like the pig? Says, Father, I'm going to serve you with my whole heart, no matter what it takes to provide that which you need of me today. Or are you the hen? Says, you know what, I got a couple extra eggs and I'm a little bit uncomfortable anyway. I'll just let you have them. Do we just give a little bit and say, you know, I gave some. I gave a piece, I gave a portion. Because when we're at the crossroads of our life, we got to look and say, what did Christ do for me? Today's title is Skin in the Game. Christ had some skin in the game for you and I. He looked ahead and saw us. Says, you know what? They're not worth a basket full of Easter eggs. They're worth all I have to offer. I'm going to put some skin in the game. I'm going to jump up on that cross. I'm going to sacrifice all, so that they can live life to the full, so they can have all that I have in store for them. So as we come to that crossroad of life, we're supposed to be as Christ or Christians. What did Christ do for us? He gave it all. He had skin in the game, and lots of it. I believe they even ripped some of it from him. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 7. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So he's risen. The crucifixion was horrible. The death was horrible. Watching Jesus go into the grave was horrible. Some of us are at that crossroad in our life where it's horrible. But we've got to know there's more than that. We've got to know that there's hope. There's salvation. There's a future lying there out ahead of us. He is risen. He didn't just stay dead. He didn't just stay whipped and beaten. So when we encounter people in our lives, we've got to give hope. Some of us tell people there's no hope for you. How many of you have heard that in your life? I've heard it a time or two. Say, there's no hope for you. You're never going to do anything. You're never going to go anywhere. And it's discouraging. Are we bringing encouragement or are we bringing hope and salvation when we get to that crossroad of our life? I think it can apply to almost any situation we're in. Are we bringing hope to those around us? Or are we bringing discouragement and condemnation? What do you bring to the game? The game of life, that is. Do you have skin in the game? We're going to look at some reasons Jesus died, what he brought to us, or the skin he put in the game for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Let's jump it into John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We have a crossroad. Are we going to steal, kill, and destroy? Or are we going to bring life and bring it to the full? Because Christ came so that we could have life to the full. Which if you're not there yet, then guess what? You have a hope. You have a future. You have promise yet awaiting you. Experience life to the full. Christ didn't die just so we could say, "Wow, look at the guy on the cross." He died so that you and I could have life to the full and have it abundantly, overflowing with good measure. Are we experiencing that yet in our lives? And if so, are we letting it spill over out of us to those around us? Because that's what Christ did for us. Revelation 1:18. Another exciting fact. This is Jesus speaking here. "I am the living one. I was dead, and now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." As a believer in Christ Jesus, death has no power over us. Our Lord and Savior holds the keys. Death is horrible. I hate death. It drives me nuts. Causes my emotions to rise. Causes my heart to stir. I say, "Lord, why?" But I have to look beyond that at that crossroad and say, "God, my Jesus holds the keys to death and to hell and to the grave." So how do I apply my faith in that moment? When I get to that crossroad, of this is wrong, it shouldn't happen? Or do I have faith in my God and say, you hold the keys, I'm entrusting you? Jesus died. He went to the grave to get those keys so that death could have no power over us. It is tragic sometimes. It's horrible. It's unexpected sometimes. Sometimes we just grow old and we lived out our days and we just wear out. Death still isn't fun. But if we look at our Jesus holds the keys, we can put our faith and trust in Him, and it's not on me. I don't need to know why any longer, because I know my God is a good God, and He's faithful, and He's just, and He's true, and He's got the keys. He's going to do with as He sees fit, and He's the only fair and ruling judge. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, a couple of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. What hope does that bring? It didn't just say only North Idahoans can be saved. It didn't say only Americans can be saved. It didn't say only Democrats can be saved. Put whatever label on it you want. But He died for all the world. Every human being in the existence of the earth, since beginning until end, has an opportunity to be saved through Christ Jesus. That should bring hope. That should bring life. Do we extend that same grace and opportunity to those around us? I was hanging out with some people a while back and had some other people that were coming to meet me, and I mentioned it to them and they said, who? And I said it again. They go, oh, I don't hang out with them. So they literally left. That's not Christ-like. That's not extending the grace and favor and salvation of Christ to those around us. That's saying, I'm better than them. That's elevating myself and putting someone else down. Not a good decision at a crossroad, because Christ died for the world. I'm just one person in this world, and we all have equal rights to heaven. I love the last verse 17 is one of my favorite. He didn't come to condemn us, but He came to save us. He came to serve us. Some people that don't go to church and aren't Christians yet, they think Christ came to condemn them because you and I condemn them. And they think, well, that's who Christ is. I don't want any part of Him. Our actions speak louder than our words. If we're showing condemnation and judgment to the world around us, they're seeing Christ through us, so Christ is then condemning them, and they don't want any part of that. But the real story is the truth. Christ came to save and to serve. So at our crossroads of life, are we serving others well? Are we bringing salvation or hope and a future well? That's what we're supposed to be doing according to the Word of God. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many. Again, Christ came to serve. He came to put all His skin in the game. You and I have skin in the game. Just pinch yourself. That's skin. We're in life. That means I have skin in the game. You have skin in the game. Christ had skin in the game. We all have skin in the game. Christ shows us again and again and again and again. Serve, 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 serve. serve, right? So we as Christ followers should be heavily involved in service. Ephesians 1:7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So there's nothing I can do to work my way out of sin. There's nothing I can do to behave better tomorrow to work my way out of sin. But it's through the riches of God's grace. And I have to humble myself and repent. That's all I can do to get out of sin. I say, God, I'm a sinner. Forgive me for... And just go down your list of whatever you need to forgive yourself for. Or need God to forgive you for, rather. That's all we can do. I can't show up to church 5 Sundays a month, every month of the year. I can't go to extra Bible studies. I can't read my Bible extra days. I can't say extra prayers except for the prayer of repentance. To get back in good graces with God, I have my sin forgiven. It's not by work, but by His grace. By what God has to offer me. And I just have to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Forgive me. Do you guys know that pastors are sinners too? We are. We're saved by the same grace that you are. I mean, we do have to wear the holy underwear, but... I was joking about that part. Only the bishops have to wear those. Oh, that's fun, isn't it? We're supposed to have fun as Christians. We should be the silliest, goofiest people on the planet. Because we found out that death has no victory over me. Sin has no victory over me. Because I have a Savior who died and made a way possible and paid for my sin. And now I can spend eternity in heaven. And the Word of God tells me it's beyond this world, beyond what I can think or imagine. And that in itself blows my mind. Because this world blows my mind. Things I see and experience. And His Word tells me it's beyond this. You can't comprehend what I have in store for you. If nothing else, that should make us happy and excited every day that we wake up as a believer in Christ Jesus. And if you're not a believer yet in Christ Jesus, I hope you become one today or in the near future. And you begin to learn and experience and know that God has a lot more in store for you than you're currently experiencing or understanding. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive one another. That means we have to put up with each other. That means we have to forgive one another. I was talking with some people this week. I said, you know, it's real easy to be a Christian when I'm by myself. Nobody bugs me. Nobody gets on my nerves. But then I get around people and I have to actually practice what I preach. And it becomes difficult. Because we have to bear with one another. I have to be willing to forgive someone else of their trespass against me. Rather than hold on to my rights and my offense. And say, well, it's my right. They stepped on my toes. But I have to say, no, I forgive you. And the Bible says just do it once per offense and then it's over. And if they do it again, it's on them. No, wait, that's what the world tells us. The Bible says forgive them 70 times 7 per offense per day. None of us have been sinned against that much. Period. So what's our option when we get to that crossroad? Forgive them as Christ forgave us. Because my sins against Christ are much greater than any sin anyone's ever sinned against me. And it's not easy. It's a journey. but it's a choice to forgive, and then we have to walk out the restoration of the relationship. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's the only option we have at our crossroad. Forgive. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Be kind and compassionate. If you get to a crossroad and you don't know which way to go, be kind and compassionate. Whichever road that's going to be kind and compassionate. It's not rocket science. Am I being kind or am I being mean? Am I being respectful? Am I being disrespectful? Am I being honoring or dishonoring? It's that simple. But we have to make that choice at that crossroad, at the heat of the moment, when emotions are raging, when all the blood has gone from my brain and it's down here in my quads and I'm ready to fight or flight because adrenaline's pumping. Because that's a physiological happening when adrenaline hits your system. But I have to stop and make that conscious decision in that moment to be kind and compassionate, to be loving, to be merciful, to be forgiving, to be honoring, to be respectful. Because that's what Christ paid for on the cross. That's what he went to hell for, to get the keys to death and the grave, so that I could live the life to the fullest, bringing him glory and honor. Not so Arby's so amazing, but so that people see in me, he is so amazing. Because Arby's not got enough potential in him to do what he's doing. So there's got to be something more. And they begin to look and they begin to seek and then they begin to find their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the end road. That's why we have skin in the game, so others can find Christ as their Lord and Savior. Mark 16:4. But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. Christ removed the barriers. You and I would put them back up. We don't call them barriers anymore. We call them excuses. But Christ came to remove those barriers, to make a way possible, giving us access to the Father, no longer through a priest and a big temple and a curtain. But now you and I, you don't need to come to church on Sunday to meet with the Father. You can meet with him in your vehicle. You can meet with him out in the woods. You can meet with him in your bedroom, in your living room, in your kitchen, in the bathroom. You can meet with him wherever you're at. Say, Lord, I need you. And it's as simple as having a conversation. I mean, you might want to stop and listen for a while and not do all the talking. I recommend that because he wants to speak to you also. At the prayer or Journey with the Cross Friday night, we had a family here. They had a little boy. He's 8 or 10 maybe. But on the way home, he goes, Mom, I think the Holy Spirit was speaking to me tonight. She goes, oh yeah, why do you think that? He goes, well, I know my own voice and it wasn't me. But he came, he sat, and he listened. We need to go, we need to sit, we need to listen. Because Jesus removed the barriers. It's wide open for us. We have access to the throne room day and night. Do we take advantage of it? Because I know if I held up 5 season passes right now for the Seattle Seahawks next season, I'd get rid of them like that. And I could get rid of at least 1 for the Cowboys. But if you had access to it, would you take advantage of it? No. I'm with you, Bear Claw. But Jesus came and gave us access to the throne room 24/7. And we don't take advantage of it. We come to church once in a while. We let the pastor teach to us once in a while. And occasionally we might join another group for a little while. And we might open our Bible once in a while just to get the dust off the cover so it looks like we used it. But we have full access to something way more powerful, way more effective than the Seahawks Stadium. How about a lifetime hunting license with all tags included? Would anybody jump up and come get that? Because I would be first in line for that one. So you have to get behind me. But how much more valuable is my access to the throne of heaven every day of my life? And how often do I take advantage of that? Or a 50% off Maurice's card, ladies. Good for lifetime. Any product. Huh? I wouldn't want that one. So much more to cover. So Jesus has made it really easy for us. We basically have to come before him and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me. I accept you as Lord of my life. Come into my heart, change me, make me new. Renew my mind, renew my heart. I'm yours. And then we begin being obedient to his word and walking out the Christian life. It's that simple. He's made it easy. But we often don't take advantage of it. Or when we do take advantage of it, we don't share it with others. What a great misfortune. Last weekend, I think it was last weekend, there was the alumni game over at CV, and I haven't played for about 12 years, so I'm a little rusty, a little out of shape. And I'm on the old guys' team now, believe it or not. Thank God, because the young guys are dunking, so I don't want any part of that. So I was over there playing, and I'm the wrestler on the team, and there's one other wrestler on our team. And we're not very good because we're wrestlers and we do double legs pretty good. But I ended up making 8 points and the other wrestler made 6. And we only got 44. So that's almost a third of our points. And there were way better basketball players on our team. But because we kept our, because there were only 5 of us, we had to pull 2 young guys from the young team for subs. And they were 20-minute running halves, which was no timeouts, no fouls. So it was a lot of running. But because we kept our skin in the game, the team was able to compete and complete the game. And we weren't the best players on the court by any means, but we were part of the team. We joined in where we were able. Sometimes we're at a crossroad in our life and the Lord's inviting us in to service in his kingdom and we immediately disqualify ourselves. We say, well, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough. I don't know how to do that. I didn't have to know how to do much. I have to cover a guy and try to not let him get the ball. And if he does, try to not let him shoot or pass. And then I need to steal the ball once in a while and get it down the court once in a while and make a shot once in a while. I won't tell you what my shooting percentage was. But sometimes we automatically disqualify ourselves and say, I'm not good enough. And remember that first verse we read, John 10:10, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He's stealing your opportunity to serve in the kingdom by you believing a lie that he's planted. Because every member of the body of Christ, not just the Life Center, but the body of Christ, global, is a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We each and every one should be taking the hope of salvation, the forgiveness of sins to the world around us. It's not just a pastor's job, but it's the body's job. The pastor's job is the equipping of the body to do the work of the ministry, to go out into the community and minister to your neighbors, to your coworkers, to the people working in town, to the people working out and about in the valley. That's what we are supposed to be going and doing, is ministering to those people. Jesus was able to see who we were truly created to be, in spite of our sin and shame that brought him the pain and suffering on the cross. So when we come to a crossroads, sometimes it hurts. And sometimes we're in a lot of pain. Sometimes we say, I don't want to be here. I don't want to do this. But Jesus looked through that pain. He looked beyond our sin and said, they need a Savior. They need salvation. They need forgiveness of their sins. They need someone to pay their debt because they'll never be able to pay it. So when we're pushing through life and we come to a crossroad where it gets uncomfortable and it begins to hurt and it begins to sting a little, we've got to look beyond that moment and say, it's not for this moment because this moment sucks. It's for that moment out there. They need Jesus. They need a Savior. They need forgiveness. So we've got to push through that moment. I was chasing lions once with this hound dog named Bess. And she was running, and I heard her tree the cat, and I was getting pretty close. And pretty soon, there was one of the most god-awful noises I ever hear in the woods. Is the dog yowling. Which means the cat has left the tree and now has a hold of the dog. And it's an ugly noise. And I finally get over there, and I look at her, and she's like this. Her neck is bent almost 90, and she's got a bulge like this on her neck, and I can see she has punctures in her head. She's bleeding. And it's the last day of this guy's lion hunt, and we just had the lion right there. I drug her back over to the track. I said, can you get him, Bess? And she kind of looked up at me and said, So I clipped her back in, and away she went. Chased the lion and caught him again, all this time stayed very far back from the tree. And eventually left the tree. So I'm sitting there with this lion at this tree, and he's not a happy cat. And I'm waiting for the guest and hopefully the dog to come back, and because I'm not very fast like mountain lions are. And finally they get close, and the cat bails out and goes again, and I finally get the dog caught back up, and she's still kind of, you know, she's dazed. She's hurting. I say, can you get him? She looks at me. So boom, she takes off again. And finally, the other dogs get there and help her out. She had some skin in the game. And she gets no reward for catching the cat. None. I mean, she gets three meals a day and a warm place to sleep, but will we pursue even after we've been bit? Even after we've been burned? Say, you know what? They need Jesus. I'm going to keep pursuing them. I'm going to keep coming back and talking to them. Even though I've been rejected, I'm going to keep coming back. You know, I've had those conversations with people for 10, 15 years in my life. It's most of those nonverbal conversations, once they said, I don't want to hear about Jesus or any part of it, then I would just live as an example before their eyes until they asked me a question again. It's not a 2-minute video on how to get Jesus. It's living your life as Christ lived his before their eyes that makes them begin to question and wonder and then they come to you one day and say, what is up? You're different than everybody else. You respond differently in intense situations than everybody else. Why is that? And then you get to say, well, you've asked me not to speak to you about Jesus, but can I tell you about Jesus and what he's done for me? And then they're open, and then you get to lead them to Christ as their Lord and Savior. That's one of the most exciting things we can ever do. When we encounter crossroads of life, we have got to look at all the skin in the game when making our decisions, which road to take. Does it honor God? Does it honor others? Or is it just honoring myself? Because Christ says we're supposed to humble ourselves to honor God and others first. So I'm not to honor myself. I'm to humble myself. At the crossroads of life, what am I doing? Christ had to go through the crucifixion. He had to lay in the grave, experience death, so that we could have the resurrection. That's ugly. It's terrible. But it's a process that had to be worked through so we could receive all that he has in store for us. There is an enemy of our souls, of our lives. His name is Satan, Lucifer, whatever title you give him. He's real. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Some people say he's not in our world today. Some people say he's a thing of the past. Some people say he doesn't bother me. So why bother him? Just last night, a seventh grader from our community took their life. Don't tell me Satan isn't real. Don't tell me he's not here to kill, steal, and destroy. What kind of hope did that child have? Apparently none. How many other children in our community have no hope? And what hope are we, as the body of Christ, giving them? Christ didn't rise again so we could go to church and sing great songs and enjoy communion together. He rose again so that there would be hope for a world. Our world's the Clearwater Valley. Are we bringing hope? Are we about the Father's business? Or are we about our own agenda? Because while we're busy about our own agenda, there's an enemy of our souls who's come to kill, steal, and destroy. He just took a young person's life by stealing their hope. And he probably has intentions of destroying the whole family. But what are we going to do as a church to penetrate our community with the love of Christ? Because Easter's pretty cool. I like it. I love what Jesus did for us. I'm not so sure about bunnies that have chocolate eggs. But I am sure about a Savior who has risen so that I can have life to a full. And just so you're aware, even if you're having life to the full, there's people around you that aren't having life to the full. There's people around you that need a Savior. They need hope. They need someone to step into their world. Say, I love you. Do you know some kids never hear that? that's never spoken to them. How much better if a complete stranger says, I love you? How much better if your actions say, I love you? Satan's real, but he's been defeated. He's been defeated. So there is hope. There is salvation. There was a resurrection. Christ is risen. And we need to rise and walk in his footsteps, serving those around us with love, compassion, bringing the good news of salvation, bringing peace and joy and kindness into the situations around us. I'm going to close today just by praying for this family. I don't know who all's involved or what all went on. I just know it's a shame. It's sick. And you could say, well, it's the home life he grew up in. But you can't say that. Because I was once a 13-year-old boy walking in that young person's shoes. It's not a matter of where he grew up or didn't grow up. It's a matter of Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. So I get it. It's real. It's a struggle that our young people face. I've walked down that road. If you read the book Sink or Swim, you can read my story. But we know that our Jesus has the keys to death and over the grave. And the judgment of that individual is in Jesus' hands now. And that gives me hope. But the rest of his or her family is still here. They have to deal with the loss, with the guilt, the shame, whatever they're experiencing. So I'm going to pray that the enemy would not be allowed to use this to destroy them, to steal or kill any more because of it. So if you guys would join me in prayer. Father, we lift this family before you, Lord God. And Father, this young individual, God, who is now resting in your hands. Father, we know you're good and just. God, we know you're merciful. So God, we entrust the soul of this individual to you today, Lord God. And Father, we ask for strength, for mercy, for peace, God, to come upon this family, God, that they would experience you, God, in such a supernatural way, God, that their eyes would be open to your goodness, God, to your love, to your mercy, God, that you would send, God, believers into their lives, God, if they're not yet believers, God, that would lead them, God, into salvation, God, lead them to the knowledge of who you are as their Lord and Savior. God, that they would experience the joy and the fullness of life that you've brought before them. God, that they would begin to enjoy each other's company. God, that they would encourage and strengthen one another. And Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that the devil would not get a foothold into this family. That there would be no more death, no more destruction, no more deceit and lies. Father, we thank you for your protection around about this family, God. Father, we ask for strength and unity. God, we ask for your Holy Spirit to comfort them. Father, we thank you for your peace in their lives. And God, we thank you most of all, God, for your salvation, for your Son. God, that makes a way when there seems to be no way. And Father, we thank you for the skin that you put in the game. God, that gives us access to your kingdom. Father, we thank you. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite Wayne to come. Happy Easter. Jesus is risen. Amen.